You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
The Browns are bad. They're 2-7. Ross Tucker is good. And on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. He joins us every single Wednesday at 4. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, what's up, buddy?
I'm fantastic. I'm just so fired up about Austin Hedges or Hodges or whatever. And I think we needed him. Go guards. I'm ready to play guards ball again.
You've been a Hedges guy for a while now, and I'm this is like your day more than it's even Austin Hedges.
Well, that's why, like last year when you guys were criticizing him and you didn't want him back, I was like, hey, wait till next year. We're going to need him in some important matchup. So, listen, you know what's going down when the game goes on inside the Hedges. He's going to get it done. Austin's going to get it done.
That was really nice. I'm like really,
really
proud
good.
Of you right now. That's really, really good. Is a total teardown necessary for the Browns?
No, not a total teardown. I'd have to look at their – I mean, the Deshaun Watson piece is just the financial part of it. Really, really tough. Really tough. I mean, you know, I think you and I disagree on – Andrew Berry, but I think he's good. I think he's pretty slick, but I don't know how you field a legitimately competitive team the next couple of years with his dead cap money. Just not sure how you. I mean, I think it's going to be very difficult, very difficult.
What would your timeline be? Because Barry's big, his big push today, and I thought it was smart of him, was that he was kind of angling it with the idea that it's not baseball, it's not basketball, you don't need these half-decade rebuilds, and they can maybe accomplish their goals quicker than maybe what you're telling us they can right now.
Yeah, it's interesting, because it doesn't seem like, Jonathan, that there's that often where NFL teams have like a year of reckoning, so to speak. But it kind of feels like that might be both the Saints and the Browns next year. I don't know if you guys saw, I'm sure you did, but the Saints traded Cleveland native Marshawn Lattimore to the Commanders. Marshawn Lattimore is going to be over $30 million in dead cap money for the Saints next year. The Saints have been doing the credit card thing for a long time, and the fact that they traded Lattimore and they're taking $30 million dead cap next year leads me to believe that they've kind of resigned themselves to next year will be their financial get-right year. And when I think about Za'Darius Smith and Amari Cooper and the way the Browns bonus those guys out and then traded them, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but those have to be pretty significant dead cap charges for both those guys next year. So my guess, my sense, is that the Browns are going to try to take as much cap pain next year as they possibly can. I don't know what creative things they can do to try to take as much of the Watson pain next year as possible. You know, I'm sure they're exploring every possibility, but just listening to Andrew today, you know, it didn't sound like Watson would ever be their quarterback again. At least that's not the sense I got. So I think that my guess is that they will try to, whatever they can do contractually, to take as much of the dead cap money for Watson next year as possible, so that they have as clean a slate as they possibly can for 26. So I think they'll continue to get draft picks. They'll try to have a boatload of picks for the next 2 years. that they have a large portion of their roster, as much as they can, on rookie contracts. And then they're going to take a lot of the pain for Zadarius and Amari and Watson next year. And then I think 26 is probably when, you know, they could realistically be competitive again, or at least kind of on the upswing.
Ross Tucker on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add deliciousness, extra deliciousness even, and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So if next year is not competitive, or however you want to frame that, and this year, the first nine games are 2-7, that sure feels like a lost season. And what are the next eight games are about?
Yeah, that's the question. And I think it's a really interesting one. That's, you know, I think you guys know this, but when it's your city and your team, you feel like you're the only team in that situation. Guys, there's nine teams with two wins in the NFL. Nine.
Is that supposed to make us feel better?
I don't know. I don't know if it does. I mean, I think it's bad for the NFL, is what I think. I mean, we're at week 10, and nine teams, more than 25% of the teams, only have two wins and essentially feel like they're out of it. That is not very NFL-like. There's usually about two, maybe three dog crap teams that are like 2-7 at this point, or 1-8. But then everybody else is usually like 3 to 5 wins at this point, where you feel like they're still kind of in it. Man, I mean, think about like the Dolphins, and I mean, there's a bunch of teams. Now, some of the teams we knew would be bad, right? But other teams, you know, like the Browns, like the Dolphins, thought they were going to the playoffs this year. And so I don't think it's a great thing for the NFL that there's that many teams in this situation. Interestingly, and seemingly differently than the Browns, the Dolphins are kind of conceding nothing. You know, like the Dolphins didn't move on from anybody at the trade deadline, and they are still, I guess they had their bye, so they're 2-6. They're not 2-7. And so they are still believing that they can go on a run here and still maybe get in the playoffs somehow. Whereas the Browns feel like they're resigned to not do that. I think the rest of the season, in my mind, is kind of determining for sure what you have with both Jameis and DTR. I mean, I guess ideally, DTR would show that he's pretty darn good and maybe good enough to be the starter next year, assuming that the Browns don't have one of the top two or three picks, like some of the really bad teams, to be able to draft one of the top guys. So, I don't know. I mean, they just beat the Ravens a couple weeks ago, and so I don't think Stefanski wants to move away from Jameis that quickly. So I would imagine he'll get at least another game or two, but if it's bad, really bad, I think at that point you move on to DTR, give him the rest of the year. Because I think at this point, at the end of the season, what do you really want to know, right? Like, is Jameis a guy that could maybe start next year, or is he a good number two if he'll, you know, stay for the right amount of money? Is DTR a guy that can start next year, or is DTR ready to be the number two next year? I think those are the things you really need to find out, and they really need to hope that DTR can be the one or the two next year, making his third-year minimum.
Where do you stand with the quarterback class, and like how much of that right there is dictated off that?
Do this again?
Yeah, I want to know if he thinks the same thing as Mark Ross. Mark Ross said he thinks there's zero players that will like elevate a team out of this quarterback class, and I thought that was a little startling.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's tough. You know, I did a Colorado game earlier. I think Shador Sanders is a really good player, but you know, he doesn't have any physical characteristics that would wow you. And I think he benefits a decent amount from having the best wide receiver quartet in college football, right? I mean, Travis Hunter and Jimmy Horn Jr. everybody already knew about, but then LaJonte Wester set records at FAU before transferring. Will Shepard set records at Vandy before transferring. That's their four receivers at Colorado. And then it kind of cracks me up because every week it seems like there's a new guy that people are like hyping up. Nussmeier from LSU or Milrow from Alabama. You know, before the year it was Carson Beck from Georgia. He's been terrible, really bad. I mean, Carson Beck, he looks like a guy that had Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers last year who got open every play, and he could just throw it to him and look awesome, and now neither one of those guys are there. So, I don't know, maybe the Browns benefit from that, though. You know, maybe the teams at the top don't force it. Maybe the Browns benefit either way. Maybe the teams at the top don't force it, and the Browns can get a guy they like between picks 4 and 6, or maybe teams still force it like they always do and fall in love with a couple of these guys, and the Browns can get, you know, Travis Hunter or some awesome player at 4 or 5 because the top 2 or 3 are so desperate for a quarterback that they take them even though we don't. I mean, look, I'd be surprised if there's not at least one quarterback in the top 5.
Ross, is the Browns sales pitch going into this offseason or next year? Is it basically going to be anybody but Deshaun?
Sales pitch to the fans?
Yeah, and I think just to everyone. Like, hey, we got rid of that guy you dislike, so who cares that it's Justin Fields?
Yeah, probably.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean, I think somehow, some way, they will find a way to whatever's in their best interest to move on from Deshaun Watson, feel like they have a clean slate next year with a quarterback that, like, Justin Fields is fun to watch. I mean, he's got some limitations as a passer, but he's entertaining. I mean, he'll win some games for the Browns. He'll lose some games for the Browns, too, if he's the quarterback next year, but at least he'd be enjoyable to watch if he's the guy.
You sound like you're describing James.
Yeah, you know what? The difference is Fields can run and is fun from that perspective, but yes, I think I am. The problem, I think, with a guy like Fields is with the other guys that the Browns have, you know, he's probably going to win you 5 to 7 games, maybe 5 to 8, if he's the quarterback the whole year. And so then where are you? You know, then it's like, okay, well, we don't have a top 5 pick because we had Justin Fields making us more entertaining this year and more competitive, but Justin Fields isn't the guy for 2026, so now what? You know, it's a weird thing because obviously every team wants to be competitive. They want their fans to have the joy that the Browns fans had when Jameis and the Browns beat the Ravens. And they want those things, but then those things become very, very expensive if you still need a quarterback, and then you got to try to move up to get that quarterback. You know, nobody's ever really – I mean, some teams have kind of tried it. My favorite is when the Dolphins wanted to tank for Tua, and everybody knew it, and then somebody thought it was a good idea to sign Ryan Fitzpatrick as the quarterback. I mean, that's the dumbest move. That's one of the like underrated dumbest moves in NFL history. Every move the Dolphins made was pretty clearly and obviously tanking. And at the time, it was thought of for Tua. He got hurt, blah, blah, blah. But you bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick, that is the wrong quarterback to bring in if you're trying to tank. So I don't know. I'll be curious to see what the Browns do, because they have some very smart guys that, unlike fans, are able to look at things with a 2 to 5 year time horizon. And I don't blame fans that don't look at it that way, but I think DePodesta, with his background, Haslam, Andrew Berry, I think they are able to look at it that way. So we'll certainly get some clues based on who their quarterback is for next year as to whether or not how they're choosing to go about the rebuild is probably the best way to describe that.
Ross, you're the best, buddy. Enjoyed you on the game this weekend. I heard something in text. We don't have to get to it on air, but I heard you say something and texted you. I thought you killed it there, bud. And that was the college game because you had like 17 games on a given weekend. So keep killing it, buddy. We appreciate you.
Sounds great. Love that we brought Hedges back. Guards ball next year. Guards ball. Later, dudes.
Later, dudes. But not later, Austin Hedges, as Ross Tucker would like to say there. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, in the previous segment, giving his thoughts on can the Browns sell fans on anybody but Deshaun? And I will say, listening to the press conference today, it sure felt like, hey, we don't want to spend that Deshaun Watson cachet until it benefits us in the absolute most degree. Hey, he's injured right now. We got to make sure that he's getting healthy, right? He's still not going to be all the way back from the Achilles in February when they give him the old heave-ho.
Yeah, they sounded – Andrew Berry did not sound – it didn't sound good.
Yeah.
It was pretty awful, if we're being honest about it. But you think that was some sort of larger, I'll do this later?
Yeah, because that you don't win. Here's the thing. You don't win on cutting Deshaun twice. Now, you can only cut him once.
You only get the good media PR. That I don't even think there'll be good media PR that comes from it, though.
There will be Browns fans rejoicing
Browns
in the streets.
Browns fans will rejoice in the streets, but they're not going to turn around and say, thank God Andrew Berry did it. He finally did it. What a smart guy that Andrew Berry is. Round of applause. He got his head on straight.
No.
He got forced to do it, and everyone knows it.
This is where we're speaking too much in generalities.
Okay.
I guarantee you, because there are still people who put that on Jimmy. Even I know Ken and Anthony are pushing the narrative that it was actually Jimmy had to be talked into it. We can guess who might have talked him into it. A guy named Andrew Berry. There's some fans out there who aren't buying that. It's all Jimmy's decision. So, yeah. And by the way, it doesn't even have to be Andrew that does the cutting. It could be the next GM.
It obviously failed. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be perceived as this like the Browns were smart in doing this.
So if there is a new GM, and we're going to use the if parlance here until proven otherwise, but if there is, it's the easiest win in the world.
It for a new GM, not for the old GM.
For the fans that blame Jimmy Haslam, yes.
For the new GM, if there's a new GM and they come in here, let's call him Don Jorsey. Let's just do that out there. A new GM comes in and is like, this Deshaun Watson guy stinks. Everyone knows it. My first line of action, sounds very political for some reason. My first line of action is kicking him to the curb.
That is
Jorsey. I think it might go down that way for some people. But Andrew Berry gets no credit in this.
Well, no. The Browns are just going to
credit the arsonist for putting out the fire.
Yeah, no, you're thinking too logically. There are people who will just be happy to be done with the Deshaun stuff. There's so many pockets of Browns fans. And the only thing it seems like all of us are agreed on is that is the biggest waste of 3 years of our lives, that being Deshaun Watson, that you possibly could. So, it might not automatically kick back to a specific guy. Oh, that Andrew Berry, tough talking AB. It might not. But I guarantee you that will be a day of rejoice when you don't have to, because I think there's real concern. I think there's real concern by some Browns fans that because of the contract, they might try and bring him back next year. And I think that anxiety is going to grow all the way until the moment they finally drop the axe.
Okay, I need for whatever Browns fans that might exist in that sort of sphere or whatever, where you're like, they're worried that he's going to come back, and they're worried that what Andrew Berry said today, he meant it, where they hadn't closed the door on it. I'm telling you, they're not mush for brains. There's no possible way that they ever bring back Deshaun Watson and think that that's acceptable.
He could be on the roster, though.
Yeah, he could be on the roster. I don't think there's a chance he plays.
But that doesn't matter. As long as he's on the roster in any way, inactive, commissioner's exempt list, which won't apply here, but I'm just saying, as long as he's on the roster, there is some sort of credible threat that he's going to play, because at some point, if two quarterbacks get injured and he's the third quarterback, Like, even being active,
that Andrew Berry kind of left himself with today was the idea that what you're presenting right there. He didn't want to say no, never, because if Deshaun Watson is the emergency quarterback, let's say, and two guys get injured, I guess in that instance, he doesn't want to look like a liar. But I mean, he lied enough in that conference. I don't know why that one worried him.
But here's the thing. But again, you only spend that bullet once.
I get what you're saying.
And I just
don't think Andrew Berry's going to get credit for it when it's all said and done.
I think the Browns organization, how they're going to spin this is bad feelings gone. And look, I think some Browns fans are going to be so rejoiced that they don't have to worry about the credible threat of Deshaun playing ever again. That the second, I'll buy into Justin Fields.
No, but if you're replacing bad quarterback with quarterback that the highest potential you have, and maybe this doesn't fall 100% with Justin Fields, but the highest you have is 8-9 or 9-8, it's the wrong celebration to me.
Yeah, no, it is 100%. But that's going to get you through to the probably what, training camp when the reports come out that the offense still looks like Dookie? Like that's because again, you're in the Browns situation PR wise. Fan with just the relationship with their fan base, you're a triage unit. This is an episode of MASH.
Okay.
Like I wouldn't be surprised if it's real hard to get people to re-up some of those season tickets, right? The cash flow is probably being interrupted right now. And so if you're the Browns, you're thinking of how can we push this thing and find the messaging. And so Andrew Berry today basically being non-committal, it was so wild to hear some people go, he wouldn't commit to moving on from him. And then other people go, he wouldn't commit to him being here. It's like, it's very apparent. Like, you and I are in lockstep. Even if he's here, he's not a part of it. But that's not enough for Browns fans. And I think the Browns are smart enough to know that.
He's using it as the ace up his sleeve.
I think, like, every year there's been a fall guy. There's been a, hey, that thing you didn't like, that Joe Woods, he's gone. We got a guy who's going to talk your ear off.
Oh, no, but that can't just be the fall guy after this year. I'll be very mad if the only thing they do is at the end of the season, they're like, hey, listen, we're keeping Stefanski, Barry, DePodesta, everyone that's... I mean, I think what's ultimately going to happen is it'll probably fall on like a poor coordinator or something like that. But then like you group it together.
Ken Dorsey. Here's your severance, fella.
I was thinking more like Andy Dickerson. We got rid of the offensive line coach. Congratulations. And then we threw the bag at what is one of the best offensive line coaches in the game, a guy you've never heard of. And fans will be like, yay.
Is Deshaun Watson and Andy Dickerson, is that enough for you?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
And that's the sad part.
I agree, by the way.
That's the part. If they try to present that to me and say that we did a lot, this is the change that you guys wanted, we are being held responsible for an awful season, that won't fly with me.
I agree. I'll be honest, I don't think anybody knows where this is going.
But I think you're right in the idea that if they were trying to save it, if they really want to make sure, and Andrew Berry's going to present it because he talked so glowingly about Kevin Stefanski, he's going to try to present it as if this big, the masterminds and the powers, the brain power they have there is all going to stay intact. This is what he would try to do.
Well, and I feel like my concern is, I think the worst thing you could do is try and sell anybody after this year as long-term. I really do. Meaning like reaching for a quarterback. It's the Josh Rosen. We moved up three spot to get this guy because he was somebody in college and he had a hot tub.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
In his dorm room, or we're going, hey, Justin Fields is super young. So that's the RG3 move, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this guy. Don't do that. No. But you
heard Barry. I mean, Barry was like, this doesn't take a half decade. Like, I think he's going to be in the hurry-up offense. I think he's going to be really trying to, if he's still here at the end of the season, I think he's going to try to win as many games as he can as quickly as he can.
Well, that's what concerns me about the next eight games.
Yeah, because you said Josh Rosen, you said Justin Fields, you said all those type of things. I think you know where this is going if Andrew Barry's still in charge by next year.
Well, but that's my thing is, I think the danger of if you already know you're probably moving on from these guys, giving them the next eight games to look really good just so you fire them and then put yourself farther away from addressing the quarterback spot. And by the way, even if this is the leap year, right? Even if this is just the year to get to 2026 because Arch Manning and Drew Aller and all this kind of stuff, even if that's true, yeah, you still want to get a good enough pick for this year so that in that event, you can do the old trade down and accumulate picks for 2026 in the event that you don't get the number one pick and you have to trade up. So you don't repeat the Deshaun thing of you don't have a first rounder for 3 years that isn't a quarterback. 216-474-0092. Can the Browns sell you on anybody but Deshaun? We're going to hear some of what Andrew Berry had to say about Deshaun Watson next on 92.3 The Fan. Our focus is on getting Deshaun Watson just healthy enough so we can cut him in February.
Yeah, he did that again thing, though. That was like, if you didn't hear me the first time, yeah. I'm gonna say the same thing over again because clearly you didn't pay attention.
And actually, I love the follow-up. I thought that
you have
was
to
great.
Follow it up right there.
Yeah, and I love
the follow-up is like, give me a better answer. And Andrew Berry's like, no, I'm not going to.
I couldn't tell who the reporter is, but like when you these guys are slippery, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but they are slippery. And you can ask them point blank questions. And if they give you any avenue to go back, you have to. And even if they do that, that's fine. But like, I there is something about today that I really, really appreciate what the Browns media did, where there were several really important follow-ups that they got in there. And at one or two times, it actually did lead to a different answer. But like, I look at this and it's just, I think it's apparent where the Browns are with Deshaun. And I think it becomes, how do you do it? When do you do it? And how do you spin it to Browns fans? The only thing that might stop them from getting out of that contract this offseason is if you just want to have him inactive like we talked about. I think they know they need a PR win.
Well, there is the idea that Ross threw out there where basically next year is the credit card bill is due and you're just going to pay it all in 1 year. And if you do pay it all in 1 year, then you're paying everything with Deshaun. You're paying everything with any contract you would have any sort of problems with down the road.
I think the problem is it's tough.
It's so hard to spell out to people, though.
Well, yeah, well, but I think the problem is then you're not just committing to Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski for the rest of this year. You're committing for the rebuild. You're committing, like,
Well, that can go both ways, though, right? I mean, that can go where both of them are gone or both of them are with you.
Well, yeah, but what I mean is if they're going to be here, if you say,
yeah,
like, it's almost like if you say we're going to go ahead and next year's going to be the year that we've been putting off because it just didn't work out, we're going to pay that tax bill as much as we can in 1 year, and we're going to live with the results on the field. If you say that, fine, but then you can't go into next year saying they have to sing for their supper. They can't. If you hogtie them that with resources to build a winning team, then it would be disingenuous if they got through that and then you allowed the public bloodletting. That, you know what I mean? Like in terms of firing the two of them or one of them. It feels like if you're going to make the decision, you let that happen now and the new GM kind of says, hey, this needs cleaned up. We've got to do this. This year's going to be a little difficult. And that's how you present it going forward. But you can't do both if you're Haslam.
We got like 12 million different directions they can go with this, don't we?
Yeah, they do.
It's a real choose your own adventure book. And I don't know. What's the route that makes the fans happiest? I keep trying to figure that out in my head. Like what is the route that I feel like most fans would realize going into next year? Like, all right, awesome.
It starts with cutting.
So you cut Deshaun.
Yep.
And then, but what is it though? Is it trying to do the Justin Fields thing? Is it trying to draft a quarterback? But then again, everyone we talk to around this quarterback class doesn't love this quarterback class. Is it doing the paying off the credit card? Is it pushing the can down the road when it comes to the credit card with all these salary caps and everything attached to it? Like I honestly don't know that there's an answer out there that'll please the fan base. There's no obvious answer that says everyone's going to be thrilled with what we're doing.
If you start the plan with cut Deshaun, and then you go to a former Ohio State quarterback who looked really good for four games. Hey, what happened with that Russell Wilson thing? I don't know. I just know that Justin Fields was 3-1 or whatever he was with Pittsburgh. I mean, look at that. He's a winning quarterback. But you're honest. You have to be honest.
Are you honest in telling them they're not trying to win a Super Bowl?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's almost an obvious. I think you have to spin it as, that contract really didn't work out, and we don't want it to hurt us 5 years from now. We're willing to make that trade-off for this year, and here's the things we're going to focus on.
With respect to Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, and this is what I liked about them for the longest time, I don't know that they have it in them to say we're going to go and put out a quarterback in Justin Fields that if everything goes right, we win 8 or 9 games, and we have no chance of making it to the Super Bowl. They are so boom or bust as a group. That's all they've shown me to be. And we're in the bust portion of that, and that is very obvious. I just don't know they have it in their DNA to say we're going to try to win 8 or 9 games.
I don't think you sign Justin Fields to win 8 or 9 games.
Well, I don't think he can win you a Super Bowl, so I think that's exactly what you're doing if you sign him for 8 or 9.
No. I mean, I think you do it with the understanding. You're going to sell him to fans because he went to Ohio State and all this other stuff. I think he's your RG3. And I think he's better than RG3 was.
He's your we're going to stink?
Yeah. He'll be your Josh McCown. Now I'm just going to... a bunch of bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But yeah.
He won 7 games his final year with the Bears.
I think if you know next year's not going to be very good, getting a familiar face that everybody likes for some reason or another, this guy played at Ohio State, he's still relatively young, but internally, we're going to have limitations. We're going to have limitations because we're paying the tax man to get out of this whole thing. But again, the most important part of that is you're selling it as we're doing this to absolve ourselves of the mistake, and now we got a young guy that we like, and we're going to see where this goes with him. Even if you know privately where this goes is to 3-14, and then you're going to have the most impressive, sexiest thing anyone can sell you on, which is either Arch Manning or Drew Aller.
Yeah, he's too good for a tank. I'm not the biggest Justin Fields guy. He's too good for a tank.
In which way?
He's going to win you too many games. He'll stumble into winning you too many games. If you're really going for Arch Manning or Drew Aller,
which one of the Chicago years are you pointing to on that one, Hoss?
The one where he won 7 games with a pretty bad Bears team.
With a great defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about
our defense
years?
Is going to be all of a sudden just abysmal? I think he will stumble into too many wins.
What's too many wins?
Four or five might be it.
Four or five? Well, 4 or 5. For Arch Manning, yes.
Four wins was what the Giants had last year when they ended up picking, 6th overall?
4 or 5 is going to get you close enough maybe to trade up for Drew Aller. I almost want to call him Aller every damn time. The 5 at 5, next on 92.3 The Fan.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app